98% of people that are in the creative space, marketing wise and big businesses, have no idea how to actually design or create anything. They're just like, they're hiring freelancers or they're just trying to piecemeal together themselves on Canva. And although that's amazing and great, again, you shouldn't be doing it because you're wasting a lot of money.
Diving into an episode that is going to inspire you with tales of growth and scaling from one of our guests. Today's guest is going to be special because we hand select people who are actively building and growing their businesses, people who know what it feels like to be in your position. As a listener of this podcast, trying to figure out what your next growth steps are, and they're going to share with us those insights, that journey, and what they're doing right now to position themselves in a better place for growth and scaling. So check it out if you haven't done so already and subscribe to our channel. We are bringing some awesome business leaders into your circle, into your headphones, into your computer monitor today to show you what you can be doing to grow and scale your business. Share the love, subscribe to the channel, and at the end of this episode, to see what you should be doing next to grow and scale your business. Hey, welcome back to the show. We are so excited to have with us John. John's got a really, really cool story about his business. John, tell us who you are and what do you do?
So we were talking off camera and I feel like my consistent introduction has always been like, I'm a co-founder and then I became a father and then I became a husband. And so now I will say that I am a father. I am a husband. I am the co-founder of Penji.
Awesome.
And Penji's a creative subscription / retainer based business where if you ever want to hire somebody within your creative team, right, you don't have to go through the strenuous process in trying to hire yourself. You put your credit card in, you hit enter, you get paired with the top 2% of graphic designers and creatives in the world. And then you submit whatever the heck you want. And then you get it in 24 hours and then you do whatever the heck you want with it. And then that's it.
I love this model. And I've got a lot of reasons to love this model, but I want to hear first, you know, use case. Like, who needs this service?
Yeah,
above and beyond the obvious guys. How big of companies are you able to help? How little companies are you able to help? Like, how does this actually benefit them in their growth strategy?
Yeah. So I would say if you're doing all the graphic design yourself, stop, because you shouldn't, right?
Right.
You have money to make, right? That's number one. If you are a marketing agency and you do all the creative work yourself, you're probably overloaded and you're pissed off at your manager because it's like, why the
For
heck
sure.
are you giving me all this work? I can't do it on one day. Offload it to a service like Penji so we could do the grunt work and you could do the creative work. That's use case number three. Use case number three is if you're a large organization and you're a part of a marketing team, 98% of people that are in the creative space, marketing wise and big businesses, have no idea how to actually design or create anything.
Right.
They're just like, they're hiring freelancers or they're just trying to piecemeal together themselves on Canva. And although that's amazing and great, again, you shouldn't be doing it because you're wasting a lot of money. So we work directly with all platforms. It could be Canva, even AI, and also Adobe and all those, Figma and all those other fun things.
Right, right.
You give us a task and we're no different than like a McDonald's ordering system. You give it to us, we deliver it exactly the way that you want. If we don't, we modify it, we edit it, and then we give it back to you and you do whatever you want with it.
Love it. Love it. And this is, to be honest, I'm a very spoiled guy because I have had outsourced teams for a couple of decades now almost. And so I've been very spoiled to have the luxury of being able to throw a project over the fence and have it get done and spit back to me in a day or two. I know what this feels like. And everyone around me trying to build their marketing programs really struggles with the fact that A, they're really bad at explaining what they need. B, they don't really know what they want. They just want something cool. And C, they don't have the people to do it for them. And so I've always had a struggle in my agency work trying to get my clients to be able to tell us what they actually want.
Yeah.
What is that process like with Penji? Because this makes or breaks their experience with you. How do you get them to be able to describe or identify what they need from you so that you can then create it for them?
You don't, you know, like, that's, like that truly, that's
Is that
the hardest.
Still the challenge?
Yeah, it is. Because, okay. I mean, like, think about it, right? Like, you're a business owner, right? I'm a business right. owner. You have 17,000 things you're doing on a daily basis. You do not want to spend even 5 minutes submitting that draft, right? Like, why do you want to do that? Like, it's just a lot of time and a lot of mental energy. You kind of yeah. don't want to, or you care about marketing from a dollar standpoint. You care right. about sales when you're paying your bills. But in your day-to-day, you actually don't give a crap about it, right? So right, you're not right. spending that time to do it. How we do it, I mean, truthfully, I would say like why our services is unique and different and awesome is we yeah. do have an art director that kind of takes everything that you do and puts it on paper. Like that's how the business solves it. But to the people right. that are like respond or that are listening to the show, I would say that's the biggest area of opportunity for business owners and entrepreneurs and marketers is like you don't spend the time on communicating what you want. So then when right. you don't communicate, it ends up looking
you
like
don't
trash.
Get what you want.
Yeah, exactly. And then right, you get pissed right. off. You're like, well, that's what I said. It's like, well, no, bro, you didn't actually say that. You like you said it maybe in your brain or like to your best friend or partner, but like you definitely didn't say it to the person that's doing the stuff for you. So
right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean it's a struggle for me. Like I'm the worst customer at Penji. I can't design for crap. Well, I'm the best and the worst at the same time. Like I'm the best right. because I'm the person that solves the problem for, right? But then right. at the other aspect, it's like I'm the worst because I do exactly what our customers do. So yeah. like the iteration of Penji that we're kind of modeling after is realize, especially with the evolution of AI, is regardless of how amazing AI is, regardless yeah. of how amazing your brain is, you right. still don't want to do it. You still don't have the mental capacity to even submit the project. So what if yep. all that work was done for you, delivered the way that you want to, and then you just download it and you do what you want with it from there? And I think that from a business standpoint, that's the problem that we're solving, and we're slowly gearing to solve that particular problem.
Well, and the thing I love about your service is you've got three tiers of service, and each one kind of includes a little bit more, I would say, art directorship, I guess you could say. Someone to kind of be the interpreter between you and your team is the way I looked at it. Is that kind of why you designed those tiers that way?
I'll be honest, man. I don't actually like our pricing.
Really?
Yeah, not really.
I think it's
like,
cool.
It's kind of confusing. It is fine, right? Like it makes yeah, sense, yeah. but like I don't think it's as clear as it should be, because like, why do you want Penji, right? Like, why yeah. do you want the service? You have the problem that you fix, but like, to me, it's not as clear as it should be. Like, it should be as simple as like, well, I need that. Like, whereas like, if the consumer, and this is my personal opinion, of course,
yeah,
if
yeah.
you spend more than like 30 seconds on a pricing page, you probably it's too long in order to sell the service. Like it should be
right.
like one or two lines. Boom, done. You know the problem that it solves, and that's it, right?
Right, right.
But to your point, the tiers isn't necessary. It is partially skill set, but it should be based on, in my opinion, it should be based on level of care, not level of expertise.
Okay, fair, fair.
Because the level of care is, there are some people that just want to, they just want to buy it and just like, they never want to talk to you again, right? Like an iPhone is a great example. You buy an iPhone, you have the ability to buy it at home, do it yourself.
Yep.
You have the
yep.
ability to go to the store, buy it, walk out the door. At Apple, you have the ability to buy it, open it up. They talk to you and they walk you through right. the entire process.
Right.
Fortunately for Apple, they can afford to do the whole thing all at the same cost.
Right.
But you have that ability to do it no matter which way you want. And I think that's important to do is to be able to give the customer an option and right. let the pressure go on them.
Yep.
Because I think that's the key when it comes to business is like more often than not, a lot of people put more pressure on the service itself, like the actual deliverables, not just for our business, for any business.
Yeah.
More focus on like the deliverables, less focus on like putting the pressure on the customer and saying like, well, no, if you don't want this, that like you chose that, right? So
right.
now your expectations right. are like, you got to lower the expectation and exceed it every single time. And I think yeah. it starts yeah. with yeah. the pricing page.
Well, that's a fair point. Let's not beat yourself up though.
The no,
service
for sure.
is amazing because as I look at it, And having run agencies for a long time and also outsourced services for a long time, this has been one of the biggest frustrations for me in my entire agency life, is trying to help customers identify what it is they actually want out of the team. There's this super hyper focus about 5 years ago on like, just go to Fiverr and find your people, right? And it's like, no. It really doesn't work that way, because you've got this contractor who does a great job on your first project because you had this big need, and then you've got these other big needs. He doesn't care as much about that after the first project's done, and now he's sharing you with three other clients. With what you're doing that's fascinating to me is, I love the fact that you're not only offering a reasonable price, well, exceptionally well-priced product for giving you a product a day. I mean, you can literally get an output every day for $500 a month, which is ridiculously, even if you have your own team, you're lucky if it costs you that little, right?
Correct.
Now, moving up the pipeline, I love that you do have kind of the, hey, we're going to introduce this character now, and they're going to help you kind of help you figure out what you need a little bit more. And maybe that's the way your pricing page needs to go. But regardless, your service looks amazing, and I can't wait to try it out. And links in the bio, by the way, for how to use Penji and what you need to do next. But Jonathan, tell us about the growth journey, because there's a lot of BPOs out there. There's a lot of people out there that build outsourced services. How did you get it to where it's at? And you're a bootstrapper, so I know there's going to be a cool story. What walls did you hit to figure out, okay, let's make this change so we can scale this thing?
Every wall imaginable. But I would say, like, my background in particular, like my human background, not business background, I didn't necessarily grow up the most like rich person.
Fair.
You know, like,
that's why you're a bootstrapper.
I had to fight for everything. I actually just got off of a text exchange, and my friend was talking to me. He was like, you know, I've been working with Morgan ever since I was 14 or 15. And you know, a lot of kids get things handed to them, and that's amazing and cool, but that's just never been me.
Right.
And so when you have that built within you, it's you work, in my opinion, you work a little bit differently. So I would say, I'm going to give this answer the exact same way that how we got there. And now where I'm at, where we're at now, is completely different. So like, this will still apply. There are two things I would probably do if you're starting from zero. Yeah. I would literally create a product or service or whatever it is, give it away for as cheap as possible, get 100 people to at least like say yes to it.
Right.
And then from there, continuously ask them what would you pay for this? And then once you have that baseline of 100 people, then you should have enough runway to be able to say this is viable or not. Now, if it takes you 2 years in order to get 100 customers, your products or service sucks ass.
And you're probably broken out of your house.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, you're 100%. And there are 5 years of Penji where my co-founder and I didn't make a single dollar. So
I feel you.
Yeah, it's like we didn't pay ourselves. So like we definitely extended quite extensively.
Right.
With that said, that's how I would get the start, right? The second thing would be is actually create a podcast, because you get people like me that want to leverage your audience and introduce Penji, get it backlink, help out AI in some capacity, but also just build a really cool relationship with a cool dude, right?
Yeah.
So like that to me is invaluable and
totally
and worth every penny. And why wouldn't you want to build a relationship with someone, right? Like you do it at home with your friends. Like why not have, I have zero friends in the real world, right? Like truly, like maybe like three, right?
But you like, do have a wife that loves you and some kids that think you're pretty cool.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, right, they do. But like internet friends, I have plenty. And I'm really happy with that. Like I can send a couple of emails and be like, hey, like watch this and tell me what you think. And that's really cool. And I built that because again, talk to individuals like yourself. And I've had a podcast myself, and I've interviewed 300, 500 plus people at this
point.
And now I have like at least a moderately sizable audience that I can just rely on. And so
love it.
That's how I would if I were to do it all over again, or if not like a podcast, because podcasting is kind of oversaturated, do something, create some type of show.
Yeah.
Something. I don't know what it looks like, but do something.
Yeah. I don't know that it's saturated. It's a really interesting game, isn't it, though? I mean, there's a flavor for everybody, and there's a host for everybody. And I just think that, you know, everyone kind of goes in spurts. I don't know, I do. When I listen to shows, I'll listen to 2 or 3 episodes, and then I'm like, okay, I've had enough of that. I've got to go on to this next thing.
I mean, it's not a bad thing. It's just like, right. how do you make it? The thing is, like, what I found, and this is why I kind of stopped it, is like, I really found a hard time telling a creative story.
I see.
But I love podcasting. I love the relationship that you can build.
And so how does that help you grow your business? Well, back up a step, because I think you were going down somewhere with starting a podcast or doing this thing and the relationships you can create. How does that help you build and grow? Because I think you were going somewhere with that with Penji.
Yeah. So we had, you know, for truthfully, when we had when I started the podcast, they were like the first set of customers.
And then, awesome.
And they were paying, we were charging people $75 at the time, $79 at the time for Penji.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. So we had 79.
And they could submit a project a day for
whatever you're
bucks.
Paying right now, like whatever people are paying right now, we were giving it away for $79. We didn't know what to do with it. Like, we didn't know if it would work. We didn't
How could
know
you even feed your teams?
We didn't. That's why we didn't get paid. We didn't. Like, they got fed, but we didn't.
Right. No, I feel you.
We starved. And that was it, right? Like, that was the growth. And then once we had a little, because our model is like revenue, recurring revenue. So like we made, it was like $25,000 a month.
Yeah.
And then we're like, okay, this is actually a pretty viable business. It outgrew our business, our previous business, because we were a digital marketing agency as well. Right. So it exceeded that by a lot, right? So then we're like, okay, we have a cool business. And then you double down. So now how do you scale from like first 100? Now how do you get to like 1 million, right?
1,000,
Or 1,000, 1,000. So that's where I think content creation comes in. And I think that's where ad advertisements come in. And I need some like crazy funnel. I just think it needs to be a simplified approach to sales.
Right. So what you're saying though is that in the build out of your program, you were able to network very easily through podcasts to get in front of the right people that actually want to use your service. Yeah. They use your service. They became your first clients. They became very feedback friendly because why not? You just gave them this free platform to talk and share about their business. And then they're like, dude, if you can make it do this, that'd be awesome. And do that. And you built a recurring revenue model, which ultimately blew up outside of your normal traditional agency model.
Yeah, that. And I would say locality. When we were first, I grew up in Philadelphia. So therefore, it's a relatively big city. I personally was the salesperson that was a fiend that went through every single networking event on planet Earth. Like, I know the type.
Yeah,
I was that douchebag that like was trying to sell you, but like I had a personal network of people that so in addition to the podcast, the digital is the one that goes like worldwide. The locality one is the one that comes local. It was a combination of locality and global became the first 100, 200 customers.
Right.
Now we're paying $79. What is that? 79 times 200. Whatever that
would be.
Is.
16 something, 16,000 a month.
Yeah. So like, that's really what it came to. And then we're like, okay, well, guess what? We can't do this anymore. It has to be like, it has to be like $200 a month. And then
we're
like, yeah, cool. Keep me. Some people left. They don't see the value. Okay, cool.
Right.
And then you find more people that are like that. And then I think for us, our business is productized. It's so easy to be able to just go online and buy it. And with a credit card. And that was kind of the point of that we were trying to make.
You didn't want to have to do a pitch. You didn't have to do a sales call. You just wanted to get on and buy it. Yeah.
And to the point that you said earlier about Fiverr, right? Fiverr is fantastic, right? Upwork is also fantastic. My question to you is, if you were to hire one person right now, what would you want them to do? Mm. Would you want them to do more than that?
I love it. I know exactly where you're going with this because this is like, this is like everybody's fantasy, right? They live in this fantasy land that I'm going to go to Fiverr. They're going to help me design my logo. And then they're going to do my video stuff. Correct. And they're going to edit my podcast. And it's like, dude, They can't. The same person cannot do that.
Correct. Exactly. I'm glad you are. That's exactly what
I feel your pain,
man.
They
can't do it. They just can't.
They're one person. No matter how self-taught they are on YouTube, they cannot do it all. And they'll try to do it all, but they can't. They're really good at that thing. Let them do that thing. Let their friends do the other cool things, right?
Exactly right. So with Penji, it's one subscription, but you get the talent of like 15 different types of people. So you have an art director that can come up with the creative. You have a video person, a logo person, a social media person, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And now you have the skill set of a multiple different types of people with the subscription of one particular cost to do that and build it out. Right. It's, I mean, again, you would know, but it's a substantial amount of money to build that team. And you can probably attest to this and say that like your YouTube thumbnail person, by the way, you have great thumbnails, your YouTube thumbnail person, probably, maybe they do. They probably don't do the editing of the video, or they may not,
definitely not.
They may not be able to do the animation, right? Like there's something that they can't simply do. And so if you want like a full team, that's kind of what we saw.
Now there's literally, for me, there's three different people for every video that gets put out on this podcast. There's three different people playing in there. And so you can't have one person do the same thing, or do everything for your show. You could, but it would look like crap and it would probably sound like crap. Or, it, you know, the one thing they do well looks great, but everything else is just garbage. So with that being said, this is why immediately when I saw your website, I understood it personally, because I have tried to sell that before and people don't understand the decision making that they need to make of, if I invest in this team, how do I explain it? And how do I get them to do what I want? And I think that's where you're moving to a solution that I think is better than any Fiverr, better than any Upwork, better than any solution that you could find out there, is something like what you've got. Not gonna lie. I think it's really cool.
I appreciate that. That does mean a lot. I think making it easier on the consumer is the number one key that you need to be able to do.
Hands down.
A business person is really busy. And so if there's anything that you could do, if you are selling B2B, you have to take as much of the stress off of that person's plate. And whatever that service looks like, I think that's the key. That's who's going to win.
Well, you've implied along this journey here as we've talked, some of the challenges that you've overcome and some of the adversity, you know, bootstrapping is always an adventure. But as you kind of got to where you were making monthly recurring revenue, that you could start saying, hey, you know what, honey, we can actually go out to dinner this Friday night and we're going to actually do these fun things. Like as you started breaking through the barrier of having enough money there to actually think about your own marketing spend and how you're going to build and grow your thing, what were some of the walls you hit then? Like post-launch, post, we know what we're doing. What have you had to hit since that time?
I think it's just like product market fit. Like what?
Okay.
What are people saying when you say I need a phone? I need a device that calls people and goes on the internet, right?
Right.
And like the first thing that pops into your head is like, well, the solution is an iPhone, right? If you needed, I'll just stop there at that specific example. I want Penji to be to the point where it's like the solution is so easily defined that you go, okay, I need to buy that from this service. And I will say the roadblock is with all of the customers that we've interviewed, which by the way, I still interview 98% of all customers that come through because I'm genuinely curious to see and understand like why customers are using it. After all of the customers that we interviewed and talked to this day, we still haven't found that exact phrasing that is like, I get it, right? And a lot of people do get, like people like yourself, you know, you get it. And it's a really easy sell. And we could say a couple of keywords where you're like, duh, man, I've had that problem before. But it's the people that stay on for longer, and the best types of customers are the ones that may not necessarily be as tech or at least as marketing savvy as yourself. And so it's like, how can you say something, a phrase? And the reason why I'm phrasing it, I'm saying it this way to your audience is like, you need to be able to have a phrase or a statement of some kind where if you say it, they'll be like, oh, you do this.
Right.
Or they don't say, oh, like this.
Right.
When they say, oh, no, it's I get like it. This, like, no, it's not like that. it's like this. It's like Penji. Like that's what it is. And so I feel like that's the hurdle currently is the messaging. It's not about the sale. We can sell. The product sells itself once you get in front of someone.
Right.
It's the before that. It's like, how do you go, oh, wow, that is a problem that I have. And of course, we have things that work, right? And it's not bad. But there's never like we're hoping for multiple silver bullets where you take that arrow, throw it out, launch it, and it connects like 80 to 90% of the time.
Totally. Well, you're going to get there. You're going to figure it out. And I actually have got a lot of ideas running through my head that I could help maybe offer some insight into that. But we'll do that post show because, you know, but I got to tell you, like, that's a serious problem. And that is a big problem with almost every business out there, no matter how big or small. The ones that can simplify that messaging are the ones that win. I'm a huge Donald Miller fan. And, you know, it's like you confuse, you lose. And if you can't be clear about the delivery and the solution you're solving, it is really hard for people to make a decision.
Yeah. Now, mind you, for us, it's not like we're taking, and this is going to be a bad example, but like, it's not like we're taking stone and trying to make David, right? We're taking a pre-existing, like, beautiful thing.
Right.
And we're trying to make it look like, you know, he hits the gym 7 days a week and is on Ozempic. Like, that's what we're trying to go after, right? Like, we're trying to make it perfect. Because that's just the type of people that we are. Like, we want perfection. And there's beauty in imperfection, but I think there's also beauty in perfection.
I love it. Well, what advice do you give in closing? Like, there's a lot of people out there struggling to get where you're at. There's a lot of people that are playing bootstrapping games and trying to understand, like, when do I give up on this? And when do I just keep moving? What do you tell guys like that?
I mean,
How bad do you want it?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, like, if you want it that bad, if you quit, you're not built for it. I'll just say that. Like, that's just not, you're not who you think you are. And that's cool. You know, go out and make an amazing raising money, and you can go out and live a beautiful cool life, and you'll be very successful, right? That's cool. But like, if you can't hang, and if you can't do it, then I mean, that's just cool. Like, just do your thing. This is life for you. And this is a huge problem to have. If you ever want to go down this rabbit hole, we could do like part 4 or 5 of this podcast where I talk about influencers and about how the get rich quick thing just doesn't work.
Right.
But yeah, that's really it. Like, if you feel like you're quitting, I would say your purpose isn't strong enough, and the problem that you're solving isn't large enough. This problem that we're solving with Penji is so vast and large that if you can make it scalable to the point where more people can access it, it's a huge, huge business. It already is a massively successful business with hundreds of people all scattered throughout the world that work for Penji, right?
Yep.
Thousands of people that use Penji is already massively successful. We raised $0 of
I love it.
Seed funding. Yeah. But that's what makes me get up every morning, is like this problem that we're solving. So if you don't have that desire to get up every morning to solve that problem and it doesn't excite you, then you just have a hobby, and that's fine.
All right. Last question, because it just kind of spurred on me as you were on that nice statement there. Had you raised money, would it have been a smarter path, quicker path, or a waste of time?
No, I mean, if like hypothetically speaking, let's just use an arbitrary number of $1 million, right? You get $1 million, it would 100% go to marketing and advertising, and that money would have already been spent. You know, like, we don't need, personally, we've never needed money for infrastructure. We've never needed money for building something or buying something. So 100% of every dollar that if we were to ever get money, it would go towards selling it. Building out marketing systems. And so, like, for us in particular, that's how we structured the business. So I would just say that, like, again, if anybody who's listening here and needs help, if you do need money, I would say if you need money to build something, you've already failed. You can make it better. Sure. That's fine. But like,
maybe quicker.
Quicker. Sure. Possibly. But even then, you could probably put a Frankenstein up relatively easily and get it going.
Yep.
If more than 50%, if less than six, I'll say 75, if less than 75% is not going to advertising, then I think it's not looking good.
It's not going to go.
It could. I mean, listen, it could go, but I don't know. Just
Jonathan, I love it. This is a really fun conversation. We had a really fun pre-call. I can't wait to reconnect with you later, but this is a cool product, everybody. For those listening, if you are struggling trying to find the right team members and you're trying to figure out your next growth stage in your business, I can almost assure you it revolves around the solution that Jonathan's providing with Penji. And this is such a big part of everyone's business that they neglect and they're not good at, and they get one thing done really quick and they just lean on that for the next 5 years. You can't do that nowadays. And so Jonathan, thank you for sharing the message about your business. Thanks for telling us about your own growth journey. And we really appreciate having you on the show.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it, Todd.
Okay. Appreciate it. Hey, we hope you enjoyed that episode. As with all of our guests that we've enjoyed on this podcast, we hope you take a minute to reflect on how relevant was that to your growth journey? How relevant is that to your business? If you are not taking steps to grow and scale your business, chances are you're not growing or scaling. So how do you know if you're growth ready? Check it out at growthreadiness.com. If you haven't done so already, we have a free assessment at growthreadiness.com. That's right, growthreadiness.com, and measure up to see if you truly are growth ready. If that magical amount of funding or that magical client popped into your doorstep today, would you be ready? Could you grow and scale your business with what you've got ready right now? Chances are there are some places you're strong, there's some places you're weak. We let you explore that for free at growthreadiness.com. Click on the assessment at the top right, and we challenge everyone that listens to the podcast to go see how growth ready your business is from your perspective as an owner, founder, operations director, or even a sales manager. Is your company on a path to growth readiness? If it's not, reach out, let us know what we can do to help. We have tons of resources, tons of free stuff, and some really, really high quality paid stuff that's going to help your company reach that level of growth that you hoped it could be on. Whether you're aiming for exit, whether you're aiming for a fundraise, or whether you're just trying to sustain the growth you've already had, go to growthreadiness.com and check out what you're doing and if it's working for you. Thanks for being a part of the Growth and Scaling podcast. We hope all these interviews are helping you determine the best path for your growth and giving you real-world examples of what you could be doing in your business today.